Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to Not Another True Crime Podcast. I'm Sarah Levine.
And I'm Danny Murphy. You know, we're your partners in wine, crime, and time. And now we're having a little rewind, Sarah, I would say.
I know. It's like throwback.
throwback to a week. I don't even know how much time has passed, but yes.
9 days ago.
Ooh.
That was quick math. I was just looking at it on my computer. But yes, a little over a week ago where we did our live show. It was super fun.
Oh, it was so much fun. We love Union Hall. We loved everybody who came. It was a party, and we definitely want to do more. But we also, because we know a lot of people don't live in the city, and also, like, you know, some people didn't make it, and we won't judge you for why you couldn't come. But the case we did was so much fun, and we wanted the quality to be, like, 100, because we feel like this case is also, like, super interesting, and, like, it's going to become, like, the new, I feel like, 2023 scam saga, as we'll find out, because of, like, TV things happening. So we wanted to do that for all you guys and then throw in the games that we played at the end.
Yes, we played a lot of games. Jorge was really like up to
something.
He was
Alex Trebekin. Yeah.
Yes.
He Trebeked to Brooklyn. Yeah.
He Trebeked, as we all did. As we all did. Oh man. But yeah, I mean we had a great time covering this case. I feel like it's super interesting. Kind of timely.
People are still talking about it. Yeah.
Oh yeah. So, you know, we love a little grift, so we just decided to do a little episode on the hipster grifter, a.k.a. Carrie Farrell.
No relation to Vampire Weekend, even though I know you're thinking, are they involved? I'm sure she listened to him, just because I'm assuming they're very hipster music.
Is his last name Farrell or something?
No, they're just, I think they're all their last names are hipster.
Oh, I got you. Yeah. I mean, this is a good one. I actually remember when this broke in 2009, there was this like long ass article in The Observer, which we pulled a lot of info from for that, as well as Vice and, you know, our favorite place, The Cut.
The Cut. So now my question, Sarah, was The Observer the original The Cut in terms of long ass articles about like single people that people are like, who is this?
I mean, they definitely beat them. They scooped The Cut on this story. So maybe it could be, but let's get into it. So hipster grifter, a.k.a. Carrie Farrell. She was born February 26, 1987 in South Korea and then adopted. And I'm going to skip a bunch of years, but then we'll revisit them. What you need to know is that she became known for her. She had this bob and these like blunt bangs. She had a look, a huge like Phoenix tattoo across her chest and also a tattoo on her back that said, I love beards, which if that's not 2009 in a nutshell, I don't know what it is.
I was going to say she is a walking Urban Outfitters advertisement. I feel
was like Blunts and Bobs 2009. Blunts and Bobs. That could have been like the name of her blog.
Oh my God. In a different world, even though we'll get to her Instagram handle, which she should never change because it's genius.
Oh my God. So
well,
good.
Genius in its own way. Yeah.
It's something. So her kind of rise to notoriety happened in 2009. And the overall gist is that Vice hired her only to later find out she had a bunch of outstanding fraud warrants. And then, you know, The Observer did some digging and it became this whole thing and this whole like sensation. But let's get into like the earlier days. So she spent her teens in Salt Lake City as part of the straight edge scene. Everybody laughed at that when I said that at the live show. I was like, I'm just reporting.
Yeah, I know. I feel like it is such an L because that was such a thing back then when now it's like people are just like, okay, you don't smoke. Like it's not a scene.
Yeah,
you're just kind of
right.
Like, oh,
no.
Yeah.
You're so right. It's not a scene. It's just like, nah, like I'll have the non-alcoholic beer and it's not like, oh, I have to like, you know, put X's on my hand and like make this a part
all
of my identity.
I think about with us, truly the X marks the spot.
Right. Right. And so as you do, she spent a lot of time on MySpace And this is kind of where, like, she met her first Mark. Yes, tisk, tisk, tisk. So she met Casey Hansen, who sadly is not one of the brothers of M'Bop fame, although he was in a band, and they eventually started dating and kind of started with low-level scams, as it does. She told Casey that she was 18, even though she was 17 at the time, and she kind of just blamed something weird on her birth certificate, which is kind of funny. I'm like, good for you for knowing where your birth certificate is.
Do I have? I don't know if I have one. I mean, I'm sure there is one somewhere in New Jersey, but right. God only knows.
Right. It. Who knows? So then in 2005, she moved to Arizona with her mom, but then back to Salt Lake City 3 months later, where she lived in a straight edge house with a bunch of roommates. And I'm kind of like, is this the original hype house?
Like the de-hyped house, because they're all just very relaxed.
Oh my God, like, facts.
I don't even know, like, tea, like, can you have Red Bull when you're straight edge? I guess so.
I don't see why not. I don't make the rules. I don't see why
not. I'm not at all.
So that summer, Carrie and her roommates got evicted for failing to pay the rent. So she went to live with Casey.
Not so straight edge. I feel like they would love you to pay rent. Like, I feel like that's part of the principle of straight edge. Right?
You're like, I don't drink, I don't do drugs, I don't pay rent. This is what what it's about. So Casey said that Carrie would pay for everything and just kind of had a lot of cash floating around mysteriously, which we know is a red flag alert.
A little sketch.
But soon enough, cracks kind of started to show. At one point, she accused one of her former roommates of trying to cash a check of hers. She accused Casey of cheating on her, saying that someone had pictures of him with an ex-girlfriend. But the only thing was that he had never had a girlfriend before, so there literally was no ex-girlfriend.
What a kind of LOL. I mean, shout out to Casey. But like, that's the way it's like, pictures of my ex? I've been single for my entire life, ma'am. Yeah.
Right? Literally.
getting some
check fraud, because that fall, she started depositing checks into Casey's account, like $300, $500, maybe $1,000 at a time. And she would tell him that she couldn't use her ATM card, so he needed to cash the checks and give her the money. And if you guys listen to the Scam Goddess episode, I feel like my dad warned me about almost this exact scam.
Wait, yes. Okay. Like you've been ahead of the game since day one.
Right, of depositing bad checks. This actually probably was around 2009. No, 2013. Whatever. Anyway, so this went on for like a week and a half, which is not a lot of time. But what's crazy is that they were able to get over $10,000 worth of checks before the bank realized that these checks were being written from an account that wasn't even open.
But what I don't understand is like how, I mean, I guess maybe it's different now. How does a bank not realize that until a week later, A, and B, like that much money? I mean, that much money is like so much now, but like imagine like when you're 18 with $11,000. I don't even know what I would do.
Yeah. I mean, I also just like how, like what is Bank of America running on? Just vibes? Like,
they're like, it looks like a check.
I mean, also, how do you get a check made for an account that's not open? Like, you know, I feel like they mail you the checks. They have the account number on the bottom. Maybe they close the account and then continue to write checks from it.
That's what I'm like. Do you just print a check and it's just like a check that's like for like a Halloween costume? If you're going to be like a bank teller and you're like,
oh my God,
here's $10,000.
Maybe we'll try that. Yes. My bank account number is 1234567 89.
Or it's like 5555555. Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Someone out there like whose like bank account is kind of like that. They're like, shit.
I know. They're like Homer Simpson in the bushes. Like, uh-oh. Oh my gosh. Okay, so then they realized this happened. Casey tried to break up with Carrie. She told him, and get ready because this is a common theme. She told him she had cancer. She was being stalked. Then he leaves to go on tour. She texts him that she's pregnant. This is going to kind of be a bit of a recurring playbook.
She really has like that 1-2 step. This is her 1-2 step.
And it worked because Casey returns from tour, decides to buy her a car that she was supposed to make the payments on, and he took out a loan with 20% interest.
Which is terrifying.
Terrifying. And shockingly, Carrie made 2 payments, and Casey had to file for bankruptcy.
Ugh. I also don't understand the pipeline to, like, I'm being stalked and I'm pregnant, I have cancer, to, like, here's a car. Like, it's kind of like you're just, like, an audience member at Oprah, and you're like, here's a car. You're like, oh, okay, I guess
right.
I'll do that now.
Whatever that pipeline is, like, I want to become a member of it. Fast-track me onto that pipeline, please.
Same, but I don't want to make the car payments. So I guess I would be the carry.
That's true. See? Yeah, maybe I just need to get a big chest tattoo.
Oh my god, that would just be like, yeah, give me the old hipster grifter. Obviously the story does not just end with her getting like a PT Cruiser or a Fiat. I don't even know what kind of car she got with this lump sum, but she realized, I don't know, from this or just from anything, that like, this, you know, this is her business. She could get a little stuff going with it. So in February 2008, Carrie did end up going to jail for 3 months in Salt Lake City because, you know, sometimes the world catches up to you. But then she outruns it, because after she got out, she started dating this new guy named Brian Mawinney. And she knew Brian because she dated his roommate, which I feel like, where is the support for Brian and his roommate? I thought exes were off limits, but maybe in Salt Lake City, maybe in 2008, it was a different time, different space. And I'm also curious, too, did the roommate have any check fraud drama going on with her? Or like,
I don't know.
You know what I mean? I wonder if that's the thing where it's like, oh, Brian, you stole my ex. Well, get ready for her to steal your money. Karma. So she was telling all these people, including Brian, that she worked for Golden Voice. And that, if you don't know what that company is, I didn't know either. But it's the company that puts on Coachella and other music festivals. So it's like one of those a very big deal, and also a genius lie, because like no one knows. I'm like, oh my god, you work for Coachella, that's so cool, I think you're cool. I don't know the ins and out of the Golden Voice departments, you know what
that's
I mean?
That's so true. Department.
Where you're just kind of like, oh yeah, I work in music, and everyone's just nodding, yeah.
Right.
And all of this, so she said she was working at this like high profile company, but although at the time she owed her parents so much money that she was also put back in jail, just time for just 48 hours. So for her, as a layover, I guess, in terms of how when her 3 months stint before.
Oh my god, right?
Love makes you do things. Because Brian ended up posting her bail. And are we shocked that she did not pay him back ever?
Here's my thing, though. Like, okay, she's called the hipster grifter, but to me, I'm like, that's not like a grift. Like, not really, right? It's just like, it's not like she took his money. Like, the cash bail system, which is its own scam, took his money. And like, she was upfront about what she needed the money for. And yeah, she like didn't pay him back. But like, I kind of feel like it's almost like an eyes wide open situation to me. It's like, it's not like she pretended she was in jail and pocketed money from him.
That's so true. And it's also one of those interesting things too, where it's kind of just like, she got people to believe her. You know what I mean? It's more so people like, it's like kind of like the gullible hipster or like the gullible victims for her, because she just always is able to. Yeah, right. So that's the
she just like spun a lot of tall tales, I feel like, but
she could have gone to improv. Instead, she went to jail 48 hours and kept on getting some change from people. But I know that's the interesting thing. And like, she was good at it because she keeps on doing it and kept on doing it more. One of the sadder moments of this for Brian and his friends is that in July 2008, Carrie told Brian that she would make him and a bunch of his friends get them to go to the Pitchfork Festival in Chicago, which is a really big festival.
Yeah, I actually wanted to go and like couldn't get tickets.
It's expensive. So that's why I mean, like, this would be a great deal if someone, but also that's the funny thing, Sarah. If someone told me, oh, I have free tickets to go to Pitchfork, I'd go. I'd be like, yeah, done.
Same. Like, I would go. Once you have to start flying to go to a festival, that's when it gets just, like, way too much. I mean, I went to Gut Ball this weekend and felt a million years old, but it was great because I just took the subway.
That is what's nice. And you probably left before, like, the mad dash of people left.
To an extent. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. I guess it's always a mad dash everywhere.
Exactly. But, yes, I left. I did not stay until the very end. I was like, I don't need to fucking see Roddy Ricch. Or no, it wasn't even Roddy Ricch. I like Roddy Ricch. I was like, I don't need to see, like, Playboi Carti with all these kids. Like, I probably know 15 seconds of one of his songs from TikTok. Like,
it's no, fine. You don't need to hear Jack Harlow say, I've been grow up that. I mean, I do like that song, but it is funny, all the live videos of him just like in between the Fergie.
That's so
parts.
Funny. Yeah. I don't get that appeal.
But Brian and his friends didn't get to have an opinion on Pitchfork because you know why, Sarah?
Why?
The day they were supposed to leave. The day they were supposed to all leave, she called saying that her boss said it had been delayed, and they ended up never going after all of them took PTO days off.
That's the real crime. She scammed them out of their PTO.
She made them send an email. Hey, wondering if this day is approved and okay to take off. Thank you so much.
Oh my God, facts.
Which is always a nerve-wracking email to send sometimes.
It's true. And the boss was like, well, why are you taking off? And they're like, do I make up a lie about a doctor's appointment? Or do I just be honest and say I'm going to Pitchfork?
I mean, that's the main thing. And then, so she kind of lived all this life. But I feel like she kind of got to the point where she's like, you know what? I have to elevate. I have to elevate, take myself to the next level.
Yes. I called this section Scams and the City.
Scams and the City. Carrie got Carrie fever. She became Carrie Bradshaw.
Wow. You're right. You're right.
In August 2008, she moved to Brooklyn, which Lacey calls the scam capital of the world.
Which we love.
We love it so much. And I mean, if anybody is in Brooklyn right now, a little spoiler alert, you might be next to her because she is living there currently.
I know. It's crazy that, like, because this became such a sensation, which I think is, like, ridiculous, but, like, certain outlets had columns dedicated to spotting her like she was the freaking queen of England.
Yeah, it's very funny. They, like, were demoing her.
Completely. And then somehow she manages to, like, successfully kind of just go under the radar for 10 years, like, in Brooklyn, the same place, like, her known stomping grounds. Nobody knew. It's interesting.
And it's funny. She was able to go more underground as social media was getting more and more, where it's easier to like spot
that
people.
Is true. That is very true.
Okay. So her reasoning for going to Brooklyn, well, she told her Utah boyfriend, Brian, which I feel like so many people that moved to Brooklyn have a Utah boyfriend named Brian.
Like, it tracks.
And Brian, you getting dumped. You getting dumped.
Yeah.
So she told him that Golden Voice, this infamous company, was letting her transfer to their New York office. Spoily alerty, there is no New York office.
There isn't. In her defense, like, I think AEG, which owns Golden Voice.
Oh, the ticketing company. Yeah.
Does have a New York office, but, like, Golden Voice specifically doesn't.
That's like, oh, I got a job with the New York Times. They're moving me to Los Angeles? And you're like, huh? Make sense.
Right, exactly.
But her main reasoning, she wasn't just, so maybe it was a mix of wanderlust, a mix of Sex and the City. But one of the main reasons that she moved to Brooklyn was because she was on the run, since she was wanted for $60,000 in check fraud bank in Utah, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah, that is a lot. I mean.
Also, if I mix up any words, it's because I am jet lagged in LA. So like we are getting these languages together.
I was like,
I don't even know what time it is.
Oh my God. Yeah. I was thinking, I was like, where is your background? It's a new spot.
It's a nice hotel. I had to complain to get my room changed, which I won't get into, but...
Ooh, I do want to know. Okay.
Maybe that could be Thursday. Maybe I'll tell that when I'm no longer in the hotel.
Yes. Okay, that's fine.
When I'm safe. Yeah. So, moving on to her next victim, her next prey, her next man. She met him... Everyone was obsessed with this at the live show. She met him at a Girl Talk concert in October of 2008.
I mean, where else? Where else?
Really, that really is a time capsule. So there she met this guy named Bobby, who was a 23-year-old student at Rutgers at the time. Shout out to Jersey.
Shouts out. I was like, I have no further comments.
You're like, yeah. I love a Rutgers Girl Talk fan. They started, I guess, connecting over their love of music and NJ Transit, and they started to hook up. Bobby, though, started noticing,
like,
some
he's
weird...
a real frequent flyer over there on New Jersey Transit. Like, damn. Oh,
he has seen Secaucus more than any other person in the world, I guarantee you. So they started hooking up, and he started noticing all these weird stuff. Like, she's an ATM card, but it doesn't work as a debit card. And she only is allowed to take out cash at one bodega.
As it goes, you know?
Here is the thing, though. If some bodegas had credit cards, I would get it because, like, there's so much of my money that I've just spent at bodegas. So, I mean, like, I'm like, if I get points, that could be worthwhile.
Yeah, that's true.
Right?
But then I feel like those bodega ATMs, they take out so much money in the fees.
So many fees?
So maybe she got $60,000 in check fraud, but I feel like she only really got, like, $50,000.
That's so true. Did you ever see Frances Ha, where it's like she's running around to get cash from ATMs, and then all of them are like $10 fee, and she's like, oh, and then just has to use one?
No, that's the worst.
Very good movie. It's a black and white movie, but very good. Greta Gerwig. Oh my God.
That's a real black and white movie because they still have ATMs that people use. Like,
oh, right. But it was like set, I think, in like 2008. It was like mumblecore. Very Williamsburg. I'm sure hipster grifter loves Frances Ha. He also realized, which kind of, I'm both concerned about Bobby, but also impressed of how detached he is from technology. He realized a month after they started hooking up, he realized that his phone was gone.
Right.
So she was always borrowing his money and then promising to pay it back. And then a little while after they started hook up, here, we're back. She tells him that she's pregnant and she took 6 pregnancy tests. I feel like some reports are saying she said
6
half were positive,
so many.
Half were negative. I know. How much apple juice did she drink before all those? Like, how much 6 are you peeing?
I love that. It's like 6. That's so many. That's a lot of money. That's where all the check fraud is going. Those things are like $12 a pop. Like,
I'm sure she got them at the bodega. Yeah. She, funny thing though, because she was like, oh, it's inconclusive. I don't really know what's going to happen. I don't know what to do. But. And Bobby was like, go to like urgent, go to a doctor. And
not even urgent care. Yeah. Just go to your OBGYN, like pee in a cup. Yeah. They'll run the test.
And then the second he wanted to bring in like, you know, like steps for proof and like more legitimacy to everything, she just never brought it up again.
Real
she was
legit.
Like, no, I'm good. About 6 weeks into their, or whatever we want to call it, one of Carrie's friends told Bobby that she was dying of lung cancer, but then he saw her kind of like living her best life, which like, as you can, like smoking weed, all this stuff at a party, which he kind of was
like, maybe you wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
If you had lung cancer.
And like, we're getting
just
treatment
maybe.
And stuff like that. Maybe. I would assume it would not be as enjoyable an experience if you were dealing with that.
Right. Your doctor was probably not like, yeah, go ahead.
Light it up. Yeah. The day before Bobby was supposed to go back to Rutgers, this boy is continuing his education. He is getting that degree. She called him and told him
his
sob story.
He's a 23-year-old senior. He's doing it. He's doing the damn thing.
He's kind of Animal House again, but you know what? Whatever it takes. She called him and told him this sob story about a crazy, abusive stalker ex-boyfriend. So that's the other part. So now she's repeated all of her 3 steps. And kind of at this time, he was kind of like, okay, there's a lot going on here. I'm very confused about what this girl is. He decided to, at this point, over 6 weeks into the relationship, Google her for the first time, which, talk about how times have changed. You Google everybody now.
I know. I'm like, what? First, he doesn't even miss, he's not missing his phone. Maybe that's why he couldn't Google her, because he didn't have his phone for a whole freaking month and didn't even notice. And then he's like, wait a second, maybe I should just put her name into a search engine.
And when he did, he didn't find her Tumblr. Well, I mean, I'm sure it was there, but maybe a lower search. He found her wanted poster, which is so old school, but like very insane to see of somebody that year. Yeah.
Did it have like the old Western font? Like I didn't even know they really still did those, like for fraud. Like, sure, maybe if you have a serial killer on the loose.
Right. And I wonder too. I feel like she could even spin it out, be like, oh, it was a birthday theme party.
Yeah.
Not quite.
Love it.
So that was kind of like her thing. She was just running around Brooklyn, telling all these insane, intense, emotional stories to random people. She met this guy, Joe in Greenpoint. Shout out to every Joe in Greenpoint. I'm sure there's 5,500 of you. And told him and his roommate that she had cancer and didn't have long to live. There were other people, too, that gave their names at The Observer. And it kind of, like, it seemed like she would just kind of do this. And then also people would be like, okay, well, I guess, like, I'll hang out with her, like, if she's going through all the stuff. And she was, like, very fun, very flirty. And sorry, one of the main ways that she was able to get all these
obsessed.
Like people are, yeah, like so she was able to kind of like get these people to kind of maybe put on some blinders to questionable things is because she was very explicit and very into, you know, just speaking her true, I don't know, mentioning it all, I guess we can call it. Some highlights. So at Union Pool, which if
iconic.
You don't know, this is not, we had our live show at Union Hall, which is a very nice bar/venue with bocce. It's like a library. You can get a tea. You can get a hot toddy. Very classy. Union Pool. It's a moment. It's an energy there. Enter at your own risk when you're over the age of 23, I would say. She had this bartender there pass one guy a note that said, I want to give you a hand job with my mouth.
I mean, I love the creativity.
It really, it gives haiku or like a, it's like poetic almost in a weird way.
In a very graphic way.
It's giving me, which maybe we'll talk about at another episode, soft swinging mom talk. Like, I'm kind of like,
oh my God.
It's giving me that kind of energy.
Oh my God. Yes. They are definitely giving mouth hand jobs.
Yeah. Oh, MHJ. And also, so I've never been to this place, but you've been to Fabian's, right?
Yes. It's good brunch. The service was very slow though.
Okay. Well, you know, do they have hot dogs on the menu there?
I don't think they do.
Well, on her menu. She had a menu out there because she passed a note to someone that says, I want you to throw a hot dog down my hall.
That just like feels like a self-roast. Like, and also a roast of him. Hot dog hall. That doesn't sound like it's going to be pleasurable for anyone. Yeah.
I don't know if it's just me. All I think of when I hear that is Paul Blart Mall Cop. And I don't know why.
Wait, why?
I just imagine him on like the, what are those? Vespas or whatever. Like those, like... moving things that
to catch
he was
the
on,
hot dog
going down a hall like and like tripping on a hot dog.
That's so funny.
That it's so very funny. Specific. It's very jet lag, but Paul Blart, you're on the brain.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Deep cut.
Deep.
So this is what she's doing. She's offering to give hand jobs with her mouth, hot dogs, etc. You know, just in Brooklyn. Again, I'm not really sure what the grift is, but whatever. Allegedly. I'm like,
it's not a grift to be weird in Brooklyn. That's kind of its thing.
That's kind of the whole thing. It'd be a grift if you weren't.
And also, from what I've seen of some people's Hinge first message things, there's some worse things in what she said.
Oh my God. Absolutely. Absolutely. So here's kind of how it all went down. So Carrie got a job at Vice, claiming to have previously worked at Golden Voice. So she got this job she was working at as an administrative assistant in March 2009. And basically, like, within minutes of meeting this one male employee, she started, like, low-key sexually harassing him.
That's the twist. When everyone's like, oh my God, she's so silly. It's like, no, not quite.
Yeah, you're like, this is not really cool. So, like, I think he just was like, hey, how are you doing or something. She starts IMing him, asking about his sexual history, how many women he'd slept with. I mean, this is, like, definitely workplace harassment. You cannot do this.
For any, I know it's June, so for any recent college graduates about to start a new job, don't do this.
Don't do that at all. And what I do respect, though, is that she started trying to use, like, the Vice perks immediately. Like, she would call up clubs, ask for, like, press passes, and say Vice wanted to come in and do a review. I mean, was Vice reviewing clubs at the time? Like, I don't even know. But they,
I mean,
but
honestly,
respect,
because I realize on the Scam Goddess episode that me and Sarah will probably mention every single episode.
Oh, until we die.
I kind of did a little bit of this when I was at the JoJo concert. I didn't even work at the company.
I do this now. But I'm not like, hey, I want to come to Marquee and do a review. It's like, oh, you know, I've definitely gotten like press passes for concerts and stuff like that. I mean, I was at Go Ball, but you know.
You said Marquee and my feet just started to hurt so badly.
Yeah. Oh, no. I know. God, the heels I would wear in that place.
As Florence and the Machine would say, the dog days are over. I'm in my cat era. I'm just sitting on couches.
Yeah. So then she also made a reservation at the Box, which if you know, you know.
And if you know, and if you know.
You know, exactly. So she made this reservation for the publisher of Vice. She did it from her personal email and told the Box that like the Vice servers were down and it was a surprise. So like, don't contact anybody at Vice to double check.
Which from a personal email, you would assume it's like spam, but the Box?
I know, I can't believe they answered that. Yeah.
I also can't believe the Box has an email address.
That is very funny. Yeah. It's probably like info at the Box or something. Like. And so this guy that she was sexually harassing at work decided to then Google her and found out she was wanted in Salt Lake City. And I feel like to Vice's credit, they picked up on it pretty quick and she only lasted a week.
Well, the funny thing is, because I feel like we talked about a little bit the live show. They did how this guy found this out and not like Vice HR because she was so convincing during the interview. They just left her on the spot.
I can't believe that. I mean, I need to start channeling that energy just in all facets of life.
Oh,
Like, right? Meanwhile, people ask me, like, oh, what are your favorite movies? And I'm like, I don't even, have I seen a movie ever? Like, I don't even know my own interest.
Why should we hire you for this job? I'm like, you shouldn't. I'm sorry for taking up your time.
Right? Sorry.
She really names it and claims it. Yeah.
She sure does. And Vice is so funny because they wrote an article about this and they called it Department of Oopsies, We Hired a Grifter, which I love.
I love it so much. It makes me really miss, like, mid to late aughts, early teens internet. It was just such a simpler, different time.
Oh, truly. I mean, they wrote this like 300-word write-up of just like, whoops, and then that was it.
It's so good. It's so, 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 so good. So yeah, I feel like it kind of reached its head in May 2009, where she was arrested in Philly and then extradited to Utah. And then she did plead guilty to felony, forgery, and identity fraud. The three big Fs.
It's like the five C's of diamonds, right? It's the three F's of grifting.
Of grifting. Well, one of the F's was amended to attempted forgery.
Oh, boy.
I guess, you know, maybe the pen ink wasn't dry. So she was like, no, I just attempted to.
An attempt was made.
Yeah. Love it. She was sentenced to 9 months in prison. And then, sorry, I feel like this is our favorite part. She then promised never scam again. They were like, you better not. It was like Lady Gaga, I'll never love again at the end of A Star is Born, but never scam again.
Okay, I do respect it, though, because Anna Delvey was like, yeah, I'm not a good person. Like, I'll probably do this shit again. Like, she, and then is like, why am I still in prison? And it's like, well, Anna, you, like, you told people that you can't be trusted. Like,
yeah. But then she has, like, that art gallery that I saw people I know going to, and I'm like, what's happening?
Oh, yeah, here? I'm sad that we didn't get a press invite for that party.
You know what? Insane. But you know what? Always Team Rachel, so it all works out.
True.
But you know what, to our girl, the hipster grifter's credit? To our knowledge, she hasn't really scammed again.
Exactly. And again, I mean, maybe some of her victims are going to send me an angry email, but, like, she didn't scam. I mean, she did the $60,000 worth of check fraud. Okay, so she did scam. She did scam.
That's true. In her Brooklyn, ones weren't that bad. Yeah.
Yeah, like, I feel like people just kind of latched onto the, like, sexually aggressive nature. Mm-hmm. And, like, she was lying, for sure. I mean, I feel like everybody has that friend who, like, pathologically lies. And you're like,
oh, yeah.
Yep, that's just Kylie. She just, you know, tells people that her dad is, like, a obscure prince or something like that. Like, I don't know. Especially in Brooklyn, everybody's lying.
Oh, it's all overreaction, overdramatic, where it's like, oh, my God, someone, like, is, like, about to win a Tony. It's like they're getting a pizza slice from a place called Tony's Pizzeria. It's like, you let them have it. You let them have it.
that feels very L.A. vibes, I'm going to say.
Oh, you think there's pizza here? I had a sprouted something for breakfast. I don't even know what's happening over here.
So funny. Yes.
And, like, I feel like the coffee here is just, like, hugs, so it's not waking me up. And there's no Dunkin'. Not the Dunkin'.
No Dunkin'.
It's 2 p.m. over there, or it's like almost 3 and you haven't had coffee today?
You know, at this point, I'm just taking the L.
Honestly, just go to bed. Yeah.
Exactly.
And you know what? Sometimes you have to take the L and then grow from it. And that's what our girl's doing, because she's planning a comeback.
We love it. Yes, love like it. Big Sean status. Took an L, bounced back. Thank you for laughing at that horrible joke.
Yeah. So she got, Big Sean got big clout for her. So first of all, her Instagram handle is Hot Dog Handjobs.
Obsessed.
That's branding 101. I mean, that is how you do it. And also, what's kind of crazy is that according to The Cut, she's both working on, like, a memoir about her life and also a TV series with Mindy Kaling.
I mean, damn. This I would watch.
Oh, watch in a heartbeat, because it's kind of cool. It's giving me Younger, the TV Land show, with, like, because it's, like, a lie, but, like, a little bit more of a lie, and, like, kind of, like, it's like, could be sexy, could be crazy, yeah.
I was thinking of, like, that show Girl Boss, but actually good, because that shit was fucking terrible.
I watched, like, 2 episodes of that, I could not.
Oh, God, I watched the whole thing and was like, why did I do this? And now I've just dumped it all out of my brain.
Talk about a time capsule of time, Girl Boss.
Facts. Yeah. Yeah, when we were like, Nasty Gal is admirable.
Were we ever so young? We were. Oh, at Union Pool. I'm sure at Union Pool I was telling people, no, Sophia Amoruso was like a boss bitch.
Oh, God, yes. You had a mug that said, like, boss babe or something.
What? Oh, my God, yeah. You have as many days in the year as Beyonce or whatever. I'm like, and Beyonce's like, why am I in your coffee cup?
Exactly. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, she is living all of our dreams, like, writing a book about herself and, like, working with Mindy Kaling. She told The Cut, too, that she's basically been in Williamsburg, like me and Sarah said, for the past 13 years.
Yeah, so, just chilling. She's married.
Yeah, married to a Navy vet. works in marketing at an insurance company. Don't know if I would love her near insurance, but...
I mean, insurance is a scam, so it fits.
It really, you know, if 2 + 2 = 4, yeah.
And 4 + 4 = 10, right? Is 10. That the TikTok sound?
I think, right? And then what the hell
and
is
what
it?
What the fuck is this? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, also an interesting thing that she has pivoted to as well is that she volunteers and is passionate about helping incarcerated people because she, a lot of her stuff that she talks about now is that she feels that a lot, and I mean, it is, I feel like a judgment that people really cling to is that people who get incarcerated, though, when they get out, they'll just commit the same thing over and over again. So she's trying to work against that and helping incarcerated people to get back on their feet and everything like that. She's maintaining that she's remorseful and has not scammed since she's gone to therapy, which sometimes all you need is a little couch to talk to someone. She says that she could have turned to scamming due to a few factors. She's trying to look inward. I'm sure while writing her memoir, being bisexual and a member of the Mormon Church. Boom,
oh boy.
That's a whole thing.
Yep, that's a lot.
Being a transracial adoptee, that's a lot. Participating in Utah straight edge culture, where petty theft was a way people rebelled. I guess if you're not having Smirnoff Ice, you're forging checks.
I mean, hey, like, I feel like you have to get your thrill some way, right?
You know, and...
I'm not going to lie. Like, who amongst us has not engaged in some petty theft in, like, eighth grade? Like,
okay. I know. I actually, have I ever... I think I was always too afraid to steal anything.
That's fair.
Oh, I guess, yeah. I don't judge. I mean, hey.
Okay, cool. I'm just going to get arrested. Totally not me talking about a friend.
I'm like in front. You're talking about Kylie, the one who lies about her dad being a prince.
Right? I feel like there actually was a girl in my like elementary school who claimed to be a princess. And we were all like, what? No.
I mean, Princesses of Long Island was a show. So maybe she was just premonishing that.
It actually did take place in my town.
That is intense.
So good. Honestly, great show.
It was a great show. And I'm sure her show, the Hipster Grifter show with Mindy Kaling, will be equally stimulating.
Yeah.
And I hope you guys enjoyed. Like, this was a fun little, you know, you got a little of the real classic yes. episode. But we saved the best for last, which is audio from the live show. So many insane games.
Extravaganza.
It's a hoot and a half. I've never said that before. I will never say it again. I'll never say it when I'm back in the East Coast. But
there we go.
The West Coast, I'm hoot and a half at it.
Leave that shit in L.A.
Oh, my God. Yes. With my spinach breakfast.
Gross. All right. So let's get into the games.
You know how we end every episode, every moment? It's what you're all waiting for. We have a little game with Jorge, who everyone is obsessed with. So get ready to meet him. And while he is coming up, be sure to enter any last super secret serial killer traits to Sean, who's going to walk around too.
Yes.
Because there will be a prize for
hello,
the best
everyone.
One.
Hello.
Let's clap it up.
Yeah. Yes.
Hello, hello.
I mean, look at, like, you're thriving. I love the shirt.
Well, I had to dress up for Brooklyn, Jorge. You know?
Would you have fallen for the hipster grifter?
I have to imagine that if someone tells me that they're going to give me a hand job with their mouth, I would run away. But I don't know. I don't know if I would have been able to resist. I don't know. I really don't know.
Also, that's your answer on a stage. I would see what your answer is upstairs at the bar. When she's here, meet and greet. No. Wait, but meet M.E.A.T. She's just getting
like,
hot dogs.
What if she's at Union Hall today? Like, she could be.
All right, so as you all know, we finish each episode with a game, and today we have a few games we're going to get through.
Yeah, buckle up, and if you want another drink, get one, because we're going to be playing games, and some of you guys will be involved. So.
Yeah, and don't forget to fill out your super secret serial killer traits. The person who is picked to be the winner will win a prize. So.
Bonus points for your social security number on the back. It's so super easy.
So the first game that we're going to play today, it is to celebrate Carrie's book deal, because big deal for her to be writing a book.
Oh, 100%.
So it's going to be called Booked Up, and here is how it's going to work. We're going to test your knowledge on the world of books today.
As I just said, I don't go to library.
So place your bets. My money's on Sarah today, but here's how it's going to work. I looked on the internet for the biggest book deals of all time, all right?
Ooh.
So I'm going to read you a little blurb of the book without their name, obviously. You're going to tell me who the author was. And then after that, you're going to have to tell me whether the book deal was worth more or less than the previous one. So,
okay. This is a good
like
game.
Books and math. Okay.
Because we get
and
to math. Figure out my if my fortes. English degree was worth it. So let's find out.
All right, Danny, we're going to start with you.
As I'm like tying my shoe, I'm literally back in seventh grade English. I'm like, I didn't finish the reading. Okay.
Danny, here is the first blurb. Here we go. In a life filled with meaning and accomplishment, blank has emerged as one of the most iconic and compelling women of our era. Along the way, she showed us...
I'm like, Bebe Rexha, no.
It's actually Hillary Duff.
She showed us a few dance moves, crushed carpool karaoke, and raised two down-to-earth daughters under an unforgiving media glare.
The most compelling woman, what? Okay.
I know.
Carpool karaoke and dancing?
Yep, and here's the last sentence. In her memoir, it is a memoir, she invites readers into her world, chronicling the experiences that have shaped her, from her childhood on the south side of Chicago to her time spent on the world's most famous address.
Oh, Michelle Obama?
That is correct, Danny! Well
she dances?
Done. Apparently
what
she
does. What doesn't she do? I
what
mean,
doesn't she
I'll
do?
Let her have it. I'll let her have it.
All right, Danny, here is the second part. So we're going to start with $20 million as the baseline. Do you think this book deal was worth more or less than $20 million?
I like sadly want to say less.
That is incorrect, Danny.
Oh, wow.
So you get 1 point,
okay,
not the other
yeah,
one.
Yeah, like, okay. All right, Forbes.
So the book deal was actually worth $65 million,
shit.
But it was for her and Barack's book. So it was like a double. But
everyone's like, boo.
No, come on.
I didn't know we were counting men in this question.
But even if we split it down the middle, that's still $32 million. So it would have been more than $20 million. It wasn't less.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
The book was a huge success, of course. It has sold over 10 million copies, which is a lot of books.
That is a lot of books.
All right, Sarah, it is your turn. In 2009, here's the blurb. In 2009,
it's Carrie. Just kidding.
Blank performed at the Super Bowl halftime show. 2009.
Fuck, okay.
The experience was so exhilarating that Blank decided to write about it.
That's such a bad book. I mean, like, watch, it's like someone really important, I'm like,
who was
what?
This? Yeah.
That's how this extraordinary autobiography began. Mm-hmm. Blank describes growing up Catholic in Freehold, New Jersey. Okay.
Okay. What?
And this autobiography is written with the lyricism of a singular songwriter and is much more than a legendary rock star's memoir.
Okay, is this Bruce Springsteen?
That is correct, Sarah. Well done.
Had to get the New Jersey.
He was born in Long Branch, though, but it's okay.
Oops.
Oh, not Freehold?
I think he grew up there, but he was born in Long Branch.
Oh, interesting.
I've driven by the house. Shout out.
There you go. Okay, Sarah, was this book deal worth more or less than Michelle Obama's book deal?
I think less.
That is correct. It was less. It was worth $10 million. But it's still the biggest deal ever for a musician's autobiography. So
really?
Yeah. It's called
about
Born to
Super
Run.
Bowl?
Well, I think it's more about, you know, more about his life and whatever.
Okay.
As one of New Jersey's sons, you should.
Oh, I'm not for him. I'm just shocked. I'm like, Bruce, you have more to write about than the Super Bowl.
All right,
and also,
Danny.
He's so down to earth, he wouldn't want that much money.
That's true. This
he's
is the next blurb, and we are... Sarah has gotten the lead, so it is 2-1.
Okay.
So you have some catching up to do. Here we go. Danny, this is your next blurb. The Emmy Award-winning comedian, actress, writer, and star that has taken the entertainment world by storm is now bringing her blend of smart, satirical humor to the autobiography.
This is mine, actually.
In this book, Blank mines her past for stories about her teenage years, her family, relationships, and sex, and shares the experiences that have shaped who she is. A woman with the courage to bare her soul and stand up for what she believes in, all while making us laugh.
Oh, it's going to be so many people.
I know. Why do I want to say Amy Schumer?
That is correct, Danny.
You know why? I don't want to... I'm not throwing shade. I was like, Amy, Tina, but then I had a lot of sex. I'm like, okay, Amy.
Yeah, that's...
You know what I mean? She walks out. I'm like...
Well done, Danny. That is incredible. All right, so... Do you know the name of this book, by the way?
Girl with the Lower Back Tattoo.
That is correct.
Nice.
So, do you think this book deal was worth more or less than Bruce Springsteen's? $10
million. Okay, I'm going to go with more.
That is incorrect.
I'm not mad at you. I like Rebecca.
It was very close, however. It was $9 million.
Oh,
so,
okay.
just a million. But this was...
She had to pay the pink tax for one.
I was going to say, it's the wage gap right there.
So this was Simon and Schuster who paid for this book, and unfortunately, it hasn't been the success that they were hoping for. It only
I didn't
sold...
know that Jorge's just dragging me. book was a flop.
It's just the facts. Just the facts.
I mean, she's no Mindy Kaling, so.
So it only sold 36,000 copies in the first week.
Ouch.
So I think they lost a lot of money on that one, unfortunately.
Oops.
All right, Sarah, this is the next blurb. A great international bestseller, the book in which, on the eve of the millennium, Pope Blank brings to an accessible level the profoundest theological
concerns. The Pope wrote a book?
Yeah.
Is that allowed?
And it's on this list of the biggest book deals of all time.
God. Is it the Bible? Okay. It's like the Bible part the Bible. Two. Or part three.
The sequel.
Extended cut.
With the humility and generosity of spirit for which he is known, okay, Blank speaks directly and forthrightly to all people. His message, be not afraid. Inspirational.
Okay, so right now is Francis. Who's before that?
So this was on the eve of the millennium, so that's a little clue as well. It was in the 1900s.
Oh, gosh. The 1900s, yes, when I was born.
1990s.
Was it John Paul?
That is correct. Sarah, yeah, well done. Good get.
Yes. It's where I learned at Hebrew school. Thank you.
John Paul II, but I'll give it to you. Phew. That's close enough. It was called Crossing the Threshold of Hope. Cool.
All right.
All right, Sarah, what do you think?
It rhymes.
Was this worth more or less than Amy Schumer's book deal?
I hope none of you wanted to go to heaven.
That would be such a burn. Oh, my God. But my thing is, like, the Pope shouldn't be after money because he's the Pope, so I'm just going to say
have
less. Well, but he's the Pope.
That is correct, Sarah. It was worth less.
What
well done.
A burn.
Very close, though. It was $8.5 million.
Oh, wow. Shit.
But also, that was like $1,999, so.
Exactly.
Like, where does that money even go to? Like, he can't shop.
Maybe funny hats.
Gotta
you know?
Keep those, yeah. Gotta keep the robes, like, nice and white.
Oh, that's
so.
True.
It's bleach.
So, if you adjust for inflation, it would have been more. It would be about $20 million.
Suck
but, you know,
Amy.
It was less. It was less. It
that's
was less.
$20 million?
And that book was a huge success. Translated into over 40 languages, sold more than 1 million copies in Italy alone. So, yeah, everyone
it's
loved
kind of
this
thing,
book.
I've been told.
Is there a gift shop? Because I feel that would help. I'm just being real.
I'm sure there is.
I'm sure.
I'm sure there is.
It's a BOGO deal.
All right, Danny, this is your next blurb, and this is your last blurb. So, two more blurbs to finish this game. Ooh. So, the pressure is on. Okay. This is the blurb. This one's fiction. So, here we go.
I just have to remember what that was. Got it. I, like, still have to think. It's, like, left and right. I'm, like, fictional, for sure.
This is what they teach you at the library if you go.
I know. Everyone else here works for the Wall Street Journal, I like. So.
When Barry Fairbrother dies unexpectedly in his early 40s, the little town of Packforth is left in shock. Packford is not what it first seems, and the empty seat left by Barry on this town's council soon becomes the catalyst for the biggest war this town has ever seen. Blackly comic, thought-provoking, and constantly surprising, this book is Blank's first novel for adults.
Huh.
What? I'm like Amy Schumer's mom? Like, so it's about a town in the 40s, and it's from the 40s?
No, actually, it's about someone who dies in their early 40s, so no.
Oh.
Nope.
I literally was going like, okay, I know Judy Garland outside. Wait, so it's present day, but they die in their 40s?
It is present day, yes. The book came out recently. I will give you that hint.
Interesting.
And it's their first novel?
First novel for adults.
Is Dr. Seuss dead? I'll go with, like, Dr. Seuss.
That is incorrect, Danny. I'm sorry. Does anyone know this? That is correct. J.K. Rowling.
Oh! You know what? Extra points. I don't know her. Never read Harry Potter and now who has the last laugh? You're like, we're not shocked you didn't read an 8-part trilogy.
All right, Danny. You didn't get it, but you still get to guess whether it was lower or higher than the Pope's book, $8.5 million.
I feel higher because she has all that Harry Potter vibes.
That is incorrect, Annie. It was lower.
Can I say my one friend? But we're on the same path for every answer. That's actually.
This is my revenge for the candy game. Okay?
Danny, you know the rules, and you get no points for this one.
It's like about taxes. I'm like, okay.
So it's unclear exactly how much money she made, but the estimates are between $2 and $8 million. So even the highest estimate, is below the
Pope's getting
book,
some rebellion from the fair audience.
We don't like J.K. Rowling.
She might not care much about that difference, though, because she is the richest author in the world. She's worth over $1 billion.
And imagine good $1 billion still tweets so much. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Just still be cancels rich and herself. Shut the fuck up.
Like...
All right, Sarah, this is the last question, okay. And this one's a little bit different. So,
it's a comic book.
This was a book deal for 17 books altogether.
17?
So, instead of a blurb, I'm going to give you some facts about this author.
Like Animorphs?
Okay.
And see if you can get them.
So, it's all the books of the Bible. Just
this person. He is the second richest author in the world, okay, with an estimated net worth of over $800 million.
Oh, is it that? Okay, hold on.
Stephen King referred to them
as that's what I thought it was.
A terrible writer, but very successful. So Stephen King
okay,
trashed
I have
them.
Some ideas.
Okay. A few of their well-known series, Alex Cross, Women's Murder Club.
Oh, James Patterson?
That's correct!
Yay! You gave it to her!
What? Danny, did you know that?
Danny, stop planning people in the audience to stick
I
up
love
for you.
That you think I knew who James Benton was. I'm like, I know Patterson, New Jersey, Rutgers.
All right, Sarah, what do you think? Was this book deal worth more or less than J.K. Rowling's?
And hers was like between 2 and 8 million?
Yeah.
I'm like, divided by 17. I feel like his odds are pretty good. I'm going to go with more.
That is correct, Sarah.
Woo!
This is actually the biggest book deal of all time.
What?
And it was worth 100...
But he has to write so many books.
Yeah. It was worth $150 million.
What?
It's funny, though, because he's been criticized a lot for co-authoring books. And there was a research paper that came out that said that the term author isn't always the most appropriate term for his role in the writing process.
Where do you get these savage facts?
Yeah, we got a grifter, ladies
it's
and gentlemen.
Like, Amy Schumer.
I know, we're going to get him on the podcast.
So what does he do?
Yeah.
Apparently, he like comes up with the plot points and then...
Okay, so he gets high and tells someone to write a book.
Okay.
He co-wrote a book with Bill Clinton, though, which is pretty cool.
That doesn't surprise me.
Was he like a ghostwriter? Like...
No. It's like both co-wrote it. It's a fiction book called The President is Missing. And apparently...
He's found at the intern's house. Got it.
No, fiction. It's completely fiction.
Oh, fair enough.
Well, that is our game. And Sarah, you have won the game.
Woo!
I'm proud of you. I'm proud
Thank
of you.
Thank you.
Yeah, Sarah, it
Thank
was...
Thank you, Dad. It was worth it.
7-2, so...
I stay in school. I can say. But you know what? I'm more excited because we have another game coming
We
up.
Do have yes. another game.
And this one I think you're going to be good at.
I hope so.
So
I need it. I actually do. I like low-key need it. Can you explain to us what this
is? Yes. So this game is going to be a musical game. Woo! So I think this one, my money's on Danny to yeah.
bring
it
back. We're each going to recreate a musical.
And you guys in. Vote on which one is the best. Yeah.
You'll leave at 10:45.
So
AM.
The game is called Behind Bars, The Hidden Crimes. All right. So here is how it's going to work.
I was like, is it behind you... that bar? Like, do we all take a shot?
I just thought, wouldn't it be fun if it was like a murder mystery, like someone in here? Like,
yes. That'll be our next show.
Next time. Murder mystery. All right. So we're going to play you a short clip of a song. And we're going to cut it up. Or cut it. Stop playing it. Then the lyrics after, the artist is going to commit some sort of crime.
Ooh.
It's going to be your job to tell us which is the crime committed.
I'm like, how okay? many songs do they confess to murder? Okay.
Well, there are songs called confessions. So.
That's true. Sure.
I want to.
So you'll get a point for the correct crime. You get a point for the artist.
Okay.
Then after that, there's going to be a little bonus question.
Wow.
For that
okay.
song. Okay.
Lots of chances.
Lots of points. Lots of chances. All right. Sarah won the game. She's going to start this one. Actually, before that, we're going to play a little sample.
Okay.
Just to make sure we're on the same page.
Okay.
So Sean is going to play us the first sample. Never to win the games you play.
Yes, it's a musical show.
Sarah, what do you think is a crime committed in the next lyric?
Set fire to the rain. Kind of sounds like some sort of environmental thing, like a gender reveal gone wrong, I guess.
So we're looking for like the crime, like,
oh, you're setting fire, so arson.
Arson, that is correct. So yeah.
Yes. Okay.
And then speaking of her,
assist from the audience, thank you.
Adele commits a lot of crimes. She embezzled from me and many people. In Vegas.
I feel like you should start a class action suit.
I don't read books. Do you think I know how to do that?
How does she embezzle from you, Danny?
Tickets to see her comeback, because I support a single mom. And what do I get thanked with? I'm gutted. Like, she does a little video. She's so sad she had to reschedule. Where's she been? England, living her best life with her boyfriend. I'm happy for her, but I just want my money back.
Wow. All right. That's a crime.
And has she rescheduled them? No.
All right. So the bonus trivia question, Sierra, on which album did Adele release Set Fire to the Rain?
I feel like there's three choices, and they're all numbers. Which is the first one? 21.
That is correct. That would have been correct. So okay. So all on the same page, we can start the game.
Okay, we got it.
All right, here we go. Danny, here's your first clip.
Okay. Right now. Oh, man. Hell yeah. The blue stick showing her how to shoot a combo.
And he don't know. I dug her keys. She committed vandalism.
Vandalism, that is correct.
Warranted vandalism.
Yes, he deserved it. Justifiable. I dug my key into the side
of this pretty little souped-up four-wheel drive. It's Carpool Karaoke. Michelle Obama, apparently.
You know the artist.
Carrie Underwood.
That is correct. 2 points already. All right, here is your trivia question.
Oh, I know some facts about her. She's maybe anti-vax. Is that a fact?
Oh.
Oop, that's just a reveal.
That's a bonus.
Before she married hockey player Mike Fisher, Carrie was attached to what Dallas Cowboy quarterback?
Oh, God. Can we ask the audience?
First of all, literally, how dare you? Second of all, I don't know.
No idea. All right. It was Tony Romo. You get a point.
We get a point for the audience. Yes. Who's that?
Wait, yeah, do you want a drink ticket?
No, now we're playing against all of you.
All right, Danny, 3 points on the board, already surpassing last game's whole tally. Good for you, Danny.
No, I'm an audio hearer.
All right, Sarah, here is your clip.
Stalking?
That is correct. It is stalking.
That seems is a crime. Rude to Wait, do Olivia
no,
like
but
that.
Can you talk about it? It was weird. If her friend told you to just drive by your ex's house, you'd be like,
you said forever, now I drive alone past you.
It's on her route to school.
She's like, I'm in night school.
And do you know the artist?
Olivia Rodrigo.
That is correct. 2 points already. Here is your trivia question. The song Driver's License was inspired by Rodrigo's breakup from what High School Musical actor?
Joshua Bassett.
That is correct. 3 points.
I'm Gen Z.
You are Gen Z.
All right, 3-3. It's neck and neck. Danny, here is your clip. And on my 18th birthday, we got matching tattoos.
Taylor Parents took her from when we were in the dark. Yeah, so underage drinking?
Underage drinking, that is correct, Danny.
Katy Perry, who supported a weird mayor, but it's fine. Used to steal your parents' liquor and climb to the roof. Oh, what a deep cut.
Deep cut. All right, Danny, here is your trivia question for the bonus point. Okay. Speaking of the one who got away, Perry was married...
Russell Brand.
That is correct.
I'm back on
the Oh my God.
What an asshole.
I feel like that's a real crime.
He is, yeah. Divorcing Katy Perry?
All right, 6-3.
As Wendy Williams would say, death to all of them.
Sarah, here is your next clip. Can't hear them, no.
What's the crime here? Loitering?
That is correct. It is loitering. being there all day and all night. That is
there
Lori.
We go. I was
that
like, is correct. Fuck too good. That's not a crime.
Been there all day. Giving a hand job with your mouth.
Yes,
that bun is side to side.
Yes, and this is what, Ariana Grande?
That is correct.
Featuring?
Nicki Minaj. I will earn the points, it's fair.
I just want to support Nicki Minaj.
Yes.
All right, Sarah, here is your bonus question. Ariana has had many high-profile relationships, including an engagement to Pete Davidson that ended in 2008.
He's like, how big is his dick?
10 inches or so, we're told.
What is the name of her current fiancé?
Dalton Gomez.
That is correct.
And he's a realtor.
And he looks like repeat Davidson because he's just him without like the Kinko's file without the tattoos.
Interesting.
They're married.
Whatever you guys do with Dalton is what you do with Dalton. I don't look at his tattoos. I look at his real estate properties.
All right, 3 points again. This is neck and neck, six to six.
Wow.
Danny, here is your next clip.
Zero to speeding.
Speeding, that is
nice.
Correct. Also would have accepted reckless driving.
It's hard not to speed when that song's on, I'm being honest. I don't drive, so it's okay, but when if I was.
Who's the artist?
Rihanna.
That is correct, Annie. Well done. And here is your trivia question. Rihanna has had many high-profile relationships with fellow A-list celebrities. In fact, she was even linked to a celebrity athlete, Lewis Hamilton, who is known as one of the greatest ever athletes in what international sport? Lewis Hamilton.
How
what
great
sport?
Is he if we don't know?
Football? Like, soccer?
That is incorrect, Danny. I'm sorry. The correct answer was Formula One racing.
What is that?
That
you said it, not me. If you don't break a sweat,
he's an athlete.
He's listening to Shut Up and Drive, and okay. That's how he wins.
Anybody driving home tonight, I'm giving you a gold medal.
He has won the world championship 7 times. Come on.
All right. I know I'm happy he's happy.
Like, hooray.
I just think he needs to have more realizations about his life.
All right, Danny, I am sorry you have lost a point there. Sarah. Here is your next clip.
Okay. I can live a lie running for my life. I will always want you. What? I'm like, how is this a crime?
Oh, we have Sopranos.
Okay, yes.
I love nobody thought the music was going to cut out. They're like, I came in.
We already did vandalism. I don't know, destruction of property?
That is correct.
Okay.
Destruction of property. That's exactly what it is.
I came in like a wrecking ball.
Karaoke after this because we have some voices in here.
Like I think we all disassociated and like started. I was like, I went somewhere with that song.
Yes,
2013. Wow.
All right, Sarah. Here is your. Well, you know who it is.
Miley Cyrus.
That is correct.
Don't insult me.
Here is your trivia question. Miley was famously linked to Liam Hemsworth of the Hemsworth family.
I like you said Liam Hemsworth.
But he's not the only famous brother that she's dated. Which Jonas brother did she date from 2006 to 2007?
Nick.
That is correct.
Woo.
Nick Jonas. Well done.
And I always was like, I hope she's supporting him through his diabetes.
Oh, yeah.
Because remember when he came out with that? Yeah.
Oh, wow.
A little bit longer.
9-8. Danny, you have some ground to make up.
Oh, I can't wait for this to be a country song about, like, basketball.
Here is your clip, Danny.
Now you've been. Wait, I thought it was like texting. Now you've been maxing out my card.
Okay, so what would be the? Not quite, but
oh, like extortion? No, is that stealing money?
Credit card fraud.
Okay.
Yeah, you got there. Let's hear it.
Like, we lost the rights from Beyonce. She's like, did I tell you you could play? Give me back credit, buy me gifts with my own hands. Haven't played the first bill, but you're steady heading to the mall. Everyone's like silently vibrating.
I know.
It's like everyone's getting a massage.
Who is the artist?
Destiny's Child.
That is correct, Danny. That's 2 points. And here is your trivia question. With a reported net worth of more than $400 million, Beyoncé can pay her own bills, in fact. But along with her husband Jay-Z, the couple is worth north of $1 billion.
Yes.
What's the name of the outlaw couple's first song together, released in 2003?
Crazy in Love.
Outlaw couple.
That is
incorrect. It's Bonnie and Clyde 03?
Yeah. It's Bonnie and Clyde.
Oh, wait, I know. Well, my favorite song lyric is in that. Can I get part of that? The only time she don't speak is during Sex in the City. She gets Carrie Fever. I'm not going to sing the rest. No, it's okay.
I'm sorry. All right. Well, Sarah, here is the last clip. Let's play it.
Is screaming in public a crime? Like, what? Thank you, guys. Disturbing the peace.
That is correct. It is.
I'm like, I guess that is a crime. It explains a lot.
Do you have a ticket from that?
Yeah, no.
Okay, here is your trivia. Well, you know who it is.
I was like, J-Lo?
Artist? That is correct.
From the inauguration?
Well, Ashanti, but we don't have to go there.
Ashanti?
Here's your bonus trivia question. J-Lo is back in a relationship and engaged once again to actor Ben Affleck.
I thought if I had to know Tony Romo, Ben Affleck. Ben
Affleck. In what year did Bennifer call off their engagement the first time around?
Oh.
Oof, I don't know. Let's say, when did Geely come out? Like,
that was
2006?
Downfall.
That is incorrect, Sarah. 2004? The correct answer was 2004.
Oh,
yep.
All right. Danny. My sorry for 2004. Okay.
Well, Sarah, you have won this game again. Swept.
I'm proud.
Well done.
Ooh, thank you.
You've gotten 2 games back.
You are a music pro.
Who knew?
And a book reader.
Yeah. Who knew? All right. Well, we're gonna.
Well, yeah, because now we confirm that I don't know anything. But we want to find out: do I know anything about Sarah? And with this, we need someone from who thinks they've listened to the podcast the longest. No.
Okay,
one. Great.
So we have no fans.
Everyone's
excellent.
Like, where the fuck are we? Who just wants to play a game?
Who said sure? Love that. Come
yes.
on up. You can win a prize. Oh, of course.
Yay!
Yes!
Oh my God, yay! Oh my God, I love the shirt.
Oh, thanks.
There's a mic for you right there. Why don't you tell everybody your name?
My name is AJ.
Not from Allie and AJ.
And AJ, what is your favorite episode of the podcast?
Oh.
Or one of them that you've listened to?
Oh, and also everybody, while you think on that, everybody put final super secret serial killer traits in that bowl.
And the best one does win a prize, so put some stuff.
Okay. I would say the Bling Ring episode.
Oh, yes.
That is like my favorite.
I do love that. That is a deep cut. Okay.
Wait, and then Alexis Nyer has liked our episode. I don't know if that's good or bad, but.
I think it's good. She came on our podcast.
Oh, that's true.
Right?
Yeah, she's interesting.
She's fun.
All right, well, welcome, AJ. And this is what we're going to do. We're going to play a game of Newlyweds, and we're going to see who knows their co-host best, and maybe AJ knows both of you better than you know each other.
I think you might win.
Would be very funny.
Is it like back to back, like we're at a bridal shower? Like, so I can't read your answers. Just
okay, so this is the first question, and it's about Sarah.
Oh.
Which MLM?
Oh, I'm like, do I know myself? I don't know.
Is Sarah most likely to join?
To join?
Oh shit!
Yeah.
Oh.
Which one would Sarah join? All right, AJ, what did you come up with?
Mary Kay.
I did buy their eyeshadow in middle school. Or my mom bought it for me.
I would join Ashley's.
Danny, what about you?
I did Monet.
Okay.
So you want me to go bald.
Sarah, what was the answer?
I put Pampered Chef because they have really good pizza stones. The pizza stone,
so
it hits.
All right, no points. No points this time around. Okay, this next question is about Danny. What
you
is
on the SATs?
No. Danny, what is Danny's all-time favorite true crime documentary? AJ, what was your final answer? What do you got?
Murder on Middle Beach.
Okay, Sarah, what about you?
I said the same.
Okay, Danny?
Murder on Middle Beach?
Whoa!
Like, no, for the cinematography.
It's such a good
And
when
not
he
not
changed
the main
into his underwear to, like, put the leg to confront his dad? Yeah.
Well no, done, everyone. Okay, this next question is about Sarah. Wow. What is Sarah's favorite wine grape?
Grape? Okay. Whichever one is $11.
My friends, yeah. I'm like.
All right, AJ, what did you come up with?
Riesling.
Riesling, okay, good guess. What about you, Danny?
I have a Pinot Grigio.
Pinot Grigio?
Shoot.
Sauvignon.
I guess I'm just too mysterious.
Or just not picky.
That too.
I would not have been able to spell that, so. Good for you, Sarah.
And
well
Riesling's
done.
Hard too.
All right, Danny, which website does Danny spend the most amount of time on?
Interesting. Oh. I don't know this. Okay.
What do we got, AJ?
ASOS.
Oh!
Love that you think I fit in there, song.
Sarah?
Okay, I actually put Zara.
Danny, what was the answer?
Street Easy.
Oh, interesting.
That's a good one.
If you can't fit into jeans, you can fit into a two-bedroom.
You got your eye on any apartments right now, Danny?
No, but any and none. There is one 3 blocks up that's, like, pretty cute.
Okay, okay.
Should we go after
it? Yes, we'll all pool for, like, $10 million.
All right, Sarah, this is the next question. Where did Sarah study abroad?
I'm like, the world?
AJ, what was the answer?
France.
Okay.
Why put Paris?
It was Paris.
Yeah, you both got it.
Yay.
I'm glad you got that one, Danny, because I think that would have been a little bit... a little
embarrassing. He put Atlanta.
Okay, this next one is for all the true fans out there. What was the topic of Danny's first episode ever on Not Another True Crime podcast?
Wait. Yeah. Okay. I'm like, I don't even know.
No, I think it's a
I guess it's whatever Danny puts down. AJ, what's
well,
your
like
answer?
A test one,
was it the Wild West Colts?
Oh, close.
Oh, that was a good one.
No.
Anna Delvey, I think.
That is correct, Sarah, but that is incorrect.
Oh, no!
So we didn't air the one I had to come in and redo two times?
Oh, my God, yes.
Perfect, good to know. It was gold, by the way.
That was before my time, so I can't take responsibility for not airing that one, Danny. I'm sure it was great. All right. Sarah, what is Sarah's favorite reality show?
Oh. I'm actually like, shit, there's so many.
I'd get specific if it's a...
I'm going to go with that.
Wait, everyone is like Mullen.
I don't even know what my own interests are.
No, this game is really like...
tough.
All right, AJ, what do we got?
I got The Real Housewives of Potomac.
Okay.
I said The Real Housewives of Potomac.
Yeah!
And that is correct. You all got it. Whoa!
All right. Well, I don't know who's the winner.
Well, we'll figure it out.
I'm like, all right. AJ is definitely the winner. He knows us better than we know ourselves.
Well, AJ has gotten every question that you've both gotten right. So I feel like AJ's actually winning. He has more points than either of you. So last question. Who is Danny's all-time favorite true crime show host?
What?
Not Sarah. You can't pick
I'm
Sarah.
Like, yeah, it's me.
So it can be like, like one of the Oxygen host or...
I'm forgetting his name, but I'm going to show you because I just remember his vibe.
His vibe. Okay.
No, like, we had a vibe, and I'm going to stand by that. He wanted to get drinks.
I'm so...
That's a hit.
I know. But it's everybody. Okay, is it?
Everyone wants to get drinks
Nancy
with us.
No, Nancy. Well, remember when Nancy Grace came and got a haircut
in our office? Yes.
She's like, "Is this filmed?" No. Okay, it'll be 25 minutes.
Okay, wait.
If anyone wants some of her hair.
Yeah, we're selling it after the show.
It's on the ground somewhere on 26th Street.
Okay.
Oh, yes. All right, AJ, what did you get?
He's a lawyer.
Sarah?
I put Patrick Hines. From,
okay. The correct answer was
Troy Roberts.
Troy Roberts.
Oh, yeah.
Does anybody know him?
No.
He does. Okay. But, like, he's very smart, very cool.
What he said, when the pandemic dies down, like, we should get a drink.
He was.
And the pandemic never died down.
That was what he knew all along.
We had him on the show about a year ago, yeah, and he was great. Go listen to that episode if you haven't. He was amazing. Well, I think AJ has won this game.
And you win a drink ticket.
It's a drink ticket.
Oh, my God.
Thank you, AJ.
Thank you.
And also the shirt. Clap for the shirt.
Yes.
The shirt is amazing.
I know what you all are thinking. Can we fucking leave soon? And you can. But first, we need, because we, so many of you collected super secret serial killer traits. So we're going to pick three. And if you're honest, you'll chat to us about it. You could say in your seat. But sorry, do you want to pick the first one?
Yes. Here we go.
I'm scared.
Oh. Wow, this is really a novel. Someone's just venting about their boyfriend or girlfriend.
Like, it does look like the Unabomber note.
Okay. Eats my sub sandwiches with the open facing left palm. Sometimes I eat my sandwich upside down depending on the half of the sandwich.
How do you upside down?
All right, who is this? I need to. Okay, I need it. What does this mean?
What is up? Are you an 18s upside down? What? With the...
So,
I already can't.
I'm left handed dominant, and so.
What?
So, like.
It's like I'm a Gemini rising.
I am a Gemini.
Come on.
But, like, I just feel like whenever I eat a sub sandwich, if I eat the open face facing my right palm, I just don't have that much control. Upside down to have that security.
What does upside down like mean if it's like, two slices of like bread?
You know, like, you have the like, open face and then you have the closed half.
Okay.
No, no, I don't get that. That's a
bread, I get it. Yeah.
Okay.
So like the curvy part at the end of the bread.
We have an assist.
Literally, I have two family members here.
Oh, okay,
wait,
okay.
That's what I needed to hear. Yes. Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. Ooh.
Particular. I don't know if it's serial killery, but yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Okay, we'll see.
We'll find out. Everybody's gonna give a little shout.
Everyone's gonna shout for the one they think is the most. And okay, letting my lizard sleep in bed with me.
Okay. The FBI is waiting outdoors.
I'm afraid. Who own up? Wait, what's your name?
McKenna.
Okay, McKenna. How old is the lizard? What's the name? What's the vibe?
He is 2.5 years old. He's a bearded dragon, and his name is Philip Darwin.
He has a cat bed?
Yeah, he just like sleeps in the bed.
In a cat bed. Okay.
Okay.
So you're not like gonna roll over and squish it.
Okay, that was my okay.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
when did this start?
Probably when he was big enough, I was scared that I was gonna kill him.
Yes, that's right. Is he cuddly?
Really?
Okay.
Wait, it's I see on my FYP page, like, they have to, like get rid of, like, clean out their nostrils.
You're on lizard talk?
Yeah, I don't know what happened. It's literally lizard talk and, like, wedding planning, and I'm like, you could not know me less. All right, McKenna.
This
I'm on
is
your
a contender.
Side.
Okay. Yeah. Last up, yes, we have... Wow. I don't listen to anything when I commute. No music or podcasts.
Okay, who was that?
All right, who doesn't have anxiety over here?
Yeah.
All right.
Who doesn't have anxiety? What?
Yes.
Why?
I do listen when I go on my walk.
So you're lying?
I'm tired. I just fall asleep on training, kind of.
Okay, that's understandable.
What? Who? Wait, I need
energy to like put my AirPods in, like connect.
The Bluetooth, it's too much.
It's actually pretty not too much. It's not like flipping over a sandwich. Wait, who listens to music when you commute? Clap if you listen to music when you commute.
Wow.
She's just like, I just pet my lizard. Okay, that's interesting.
Okay,
all right, so now.
So we'll do a vote.
So
cheer
it's
for the
be,
one that you think.
Yeah, so just to.
Before we do this, just announce our prize. We have, I don't know if you've heard, Beth just launched a new drink, so we have some faux pas for our lucky winner.
Don't drink them in here and tip your bartender.
Oh, yeah, you can only open them outside.
Can't drink them here. We have a little hat.
Very stylish.
A little tote. You can wear that here. That's correct.
And you can fashion the tote here. Okay, so just to summate, it's sandwich, lizard, no music. So clap if sandwich is the most one.
The most one. If sandwich is the biggest serial killer trait, yeah.
Oh, the most one. I'm like, the wait, did I fail books? Yeah. Okay, lizard. Music.
I think we have to do this. It's tough. Okay, should we do the last two again?
Last two.
Okay, lizard.
Music.
I think it's a lizard. McKenna,
it's a lizard.
Come on
McKenna,
up.
Wait, come here. Wait, but I need... McKenna, I need you to do something for us. If Philip is cool with it, I need a photo of him in the hat.
Oh, yeah.
Yes! Yay! Well, we did, and we are so happy we did. And more importantly, we're so happy you all came out tonight.
Thank you so much.
This was so much fun. Clap, too, for Jorge and Sean, who helped us so much.
And clap for Union Hall and the bartenders. Tip them.
And clap for yourselves. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you guys.
Not Another True Crime Podcast is produced by Jorge Morales Pico and Sean Kilby. Our hosts are Sarah Levine and Danny Murphy. Editing by Jorge Morales Pico. Social media by Sarah Levine. Be sure to follow at NATC Pod on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And send us your emails to natc@betches.com. Betches.